This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Here's the Scenario. I was gonna say a curse word, and I stopped myself.
Good for you.
The most interactive podcast on the face of the planet. I was gonna say the Milky Way, but who knows? We could have other sentient beings doing Here's the Gloop Glorp. You know, you send us the questions, what if scenarios, would you rather, is Mary F. Kills? I'm trying so hard not to curse.
Hypotheticals.
And we answer them, and we love you for it. I'm one of your hosts, Brendan Saglow, being joined with me, as always,
by Mike Feeney, and also
Michael Shane Cannon.
Hell yeah, dude.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to
maybe your best intro yet.
Stop. You almost did it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, with your little nail polish over your
chipped off.
Yeah, you really look like cracked out Lindsay Lohan.
Hell yeah, dude. Welcome, everybody. I'm English all of a sudden.
Just two Long Island dumpsters.
Yeah, but she pretended to be English for a little bit.
I think I saw her at Bordy Barn once.
Bordy Barn. Yeah. I haven't heard that name in...
You've been there, right?
That's all like the stickers and stuff, right? No, I've never
been
there.
It's the tent with like the mud ground where everybody goes to competitively drink / sexually assault. It's so intense. I was there for like an afternoon. And I was like, super fun. Get me out of here.
Have you been there?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
We don't talk about that.
Bordy Barn.
It was all frowny faces when Feeney went. I also, before we get into the questions, I just want to put in my little surprise here. It was I who farted before the show. I was the farter. I was the one that stunk up the room, and I was the one who blamed my cannon for it.
It did smell like a dead body, so it would make sense that it would be yours.
Yeah, I mean, we all ate the same thing, but somehow it processed a little differently going through them guts.
Well, that's what I noticed
because
about
my walls
Brendan.
Are
it's
covered
very
in...
interesting, and I think it's because he doesn't get as hungry as we do, and obviously, you know, there's...
We do.
As long as there's more of, like, you know, stuff to store.
Was that The Simpsons?
Yeah.
We do.
We do. What is it? The stonecutters.
Stonecutters, yeah.
Doesn't
work.
None of these work.
None of them work.
None of the charger works. Anyway, thank you guys for sending the questions. Also, check out the Patreon. We have so much stuff on there. I put on my little hip hops. Mike does the Mike Takes Edibles. Feeney's got a fucking shit. Damn it! I can't not do it. I'm such a piece of shit. Feeney's got a solo cast coming. We're really putting out a lot of stuff.
That's right. We just did a brand new spots too. Nicole came to Fairfield, and then we went back to New York Comedy Club. And I gotta say, just the quality has leapfrogged all the past horse shit that we've been doing over the last couple months.
Yeah, R.I.P. Lucas.
Nope. Not even rest in peace. Rest in piss.
Yeah, and I just put up a spots too where somebody came with me to New York Comedy Club and we showed what it was like to host. And I had a mental breakdown.
Oh, I'm excited to watch that.
I just had two road gigs in Connecticut, but the person that used to work with us canceled on them. So there's no footage from it. But.
Don't worry. He knows a few people's coffee orders by heart.
Yeah. I filmed them myself, so they won't be as shaky, but they'll be good to go.
Yes, go to heresthescenario.com for everything us, so that you can send in the
God. Let's get this in the whole app.
Yeah.
Send us
gloves.
I ref.
If you're new to the show, follow us on the Instagram and send your questions to. Here's the Scenario Pod on Instagram, is it?
Everything is located at heresthescenario.com. You go there, you can subscribe to the podcast, yes. YouTube, Instagram, all of our social media,
what?
Plus iTunes.
I swear to God, this one wasn't me this time.
Write a review. get the show popping on the algorithm. It helps the show. It exposes us to a lot of people that might not know who we are, what the new show is. And plus, we got the Patreon up there, all of our individual Instagram, social media, all that stuff, and our websites to go come see us on the road, which... By the way, Nicole, did you notice the
great
shirt I'm wearing?
It's amazing.
Designed by Nicole.
Designed by Nicole.
Feels
great. It's incredible.
Great.
Really feels great.
Yeah.
Brendan and I have a number of these that we're going to be selling on our little mini tour.
Yeah.
That starts next week, maybe even after this episode airs. But October 8th through the 11th, we're going to be in Columbus, Ohio, through McHenry, Illinois, through Chicago. And man, we're going to have the greatest time. I can't say Chicago without
Chicago.
Yeah, it's so good.
So, and we're going to make a little documentary about that as well.
That's right.
A little
even though Lucas kept the plane ticket and never reimbursed me for it, we did find somebody else to come on board.
Be on the lookout of that scenario. Patreon.com.
Yeah, and also if anybody wants to send us any Delta miles or whatever.
Please. We need them.
Just help us.
Patreon.com/scenariopod. Let's get into the questions. This first question comes from Curtis.
Curtis?
And I think it's a doozy. He said, here's the scenario. You get paid to fight in the UFC, but against the females.
Oh.
And that's the whole thing.
That's it? There's no question?
I guess.
I don't think
there's a question.
There's
not a second on the planet I could survive against Emmanuel Nunez.
No, there's not even like, there's not a weight class or age class that I could compete in. Like, trained female.
50 and up.
Cook me.
50 and up under 115 pounds. I'm dominating.
Dude, I watched some like 7-year-old girl hit mitts and duck and dodge from her for sure abusive father who was like swinging wildly above her head. He's like, oh, I'm preparing her for assault.
Yeah. You know?
Like, I think you're doing it on your own.
Yeah.
But I watched her and I was like, she could just pepper me to death.
Yeah,
like I'd have no defense against it.
I couldn't do. I'd have to do like the Ellis Mania UFC where I fight a mime or some
on
shit
a raft.
Like that. Yeah.
On a raft in the middle of some chop.
Yeah, then I could maybe do well. But no, literally the referees at the UFC could kick my ass.
Yeah, I mean they're also pretty jacked, and I assume that they all need training, right? Because not only do they need to know the rules, but they need to know like the intricacies of what the people are doing.
Yeah,
grapples.
Yeah,
grapples.
That's the only term.
grapples,
ground and pound submission.
How young? Actually, say there's a
TKO.
Black jiu-jitsu black belt plus boxing threat. How young and tiny do they have to be before you could beat them up?
Well, I think I can kick the ass of like a 3-year-old.
Well, you can't. Well, there are no black belt. You can't. It takes years to get a black belt. So by they would be like at least like.
But what if they're the Mozart of jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, let's say
they get really a black belt at like 10.
Sure, but let's say in this example that they are uploaded with black beltedness. They are the Matrix. They're pierced in the back of their cerebellum, and they're all of a sudden a black belt. How young would they have to be for you to take care of business?
I could take out a fucking 5-year-old, dude. A kindergartner?
10-year-old.
10-year-old? I don't know.
10-year-olds are like 60 pounds.
Prepubescent, I think that's... Yeah, you're right. It would have to be like... 10 is probably the shelf. You know what I mean? But I've seen like... 10-year-old boys is a different story, I think. Because I've seen like... When I was a camp counselor, there were 12-year-olds that were 6 foot, 175 pounds. I assume they didn't grow 6 inches and gain 50 pounds over 2 years.
Yeah.
That's obviously possible, but they were like grown men kids, and I was 15 and weighed less. So like when they got into physical altercations, I had to like for real throw down with a couple of these kids.
Weren't you also at like a mentally handicapped?
It was, I didn't want to put that part in, but yeah.
I think that's a big part.
It was so for my group.
It's the only part.
I was 15 and this was a camp for developmental disability. So it ranged from like Down syndrome, autistic, all the way to
or
like,
as Brendan calls them,
my father. Camp.
Oh,
I don't know.
What did you say?
My camp I went to.
We Michael, were both off because I said my father. And that meant nothing. Almost more.
Yeah, but you
that
know,
meant more nothing.
That's a fun little like riddle. It's like what if two terrible jokes are said at once so they cancel each other out? Does that ever happen?
Does anyone hear them?
Yeah. Not clearly.
Yeah, but if two mentally handicapped people are
you're allowed
are,
to say
wow.
That.
It's the only
if
one
two
you're
mentally
to say.
Handicapped people
right.
are fighting, can't you just walk up
Actually,
and like
not supposed to say that.
Put your hand on their ears or something?
And no, you have to start throwing money down and taking odds from everyone else.
Yeah. You have one with like a Tootsie Roll hanging like this, like a fishing wire. I don't know what that meant either. Woo!
Let's
slow down.
Yeah, let's. Oh, so the kids that I had to like stop from fighting was this one kid who legitimately, this is like right when, I don't even know if 50 Cent was out actually, because he looked like Curtis Jackson. Like he legitimately had the same face, the same gap in his teeth, fucking jacked up arms, really just a big 12-year-old kid. And then this other kid was also 12, but he had like sickle cell. He was really fat and out of shape, and he was kind of like a meeker kid. And he had from birth braids, which means he never cut his hair since birth.
Oh, my
God. So he had 12-year-old hair, like baby hairs growing down all the way to his ass, which always was actually pretty cool. I thought that was awesome. But he, like, said something that wasn't that crazy, and the kid who was emotionally disturbed flew off the fucking handle, popped him right in the face, and then got on top of him. And I was the only counselor there with like 17 kids, and the other two were like helping some kid shitting in the woods and another one jerking off on a table. And I had to like full Nelson this kid at 15 and like 10 pounds less than him and try to like bury his head in the dirt until somebody came over to help me.
What if you suffocated him in the dirt?
I would have been in trouble.
I would have been murdered.
My life would be much different.
It's funny you mentioned 50 Cent. When we were on our way here, I was watching a video of, I guess they strapped 50 Cent up to like a lie detector, and they were asking him questions. And one of the questions they asked him was,
are you gay?
No. But they asked him, they were like, you follow Eminem on Instagram? And he's like, yeah. And he goes, Eminem doesn't follow you. And he's like, yeah. They're like, he doesn't follow anyone. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, does that upset you? And he was like, no, I text with the guy. I don't care. He doesn't have to follow anyone. He's the greatest rapper in the world. And I was just thinking how much that thing would be going off if I was like, yeah. No, I don't care. It was like,
yeah. Are there comedians that you've known for 8 years that are doing just okay that only follow 60 people?
Yeah, anyone that follows nobody is, I don't care who you are, you're pretentious, okay? Follow some people. Follow big butt accounts.
I'd say anyone that follows 100 people or less is equally as bad as someone who follows zero.
Well, because it's such a try hard. It's no longer like social media has now been around for so long that there's no possible way you don't care that much. Like it's very, you definitely, you're bigger of a Herb because you go to explore and then type in people's names
and then
directly visit to see what they're doing. So you ultra follow people,
yeah,
you fucking dunce.
It's cool. Thanks for knowing that I support you and you don't support me. Yeah. There is a comic.
Who am I talking to?
There is a comic that we know that I'm not going to say his name, but I
say it on the Patreon.
I'll say it on the Patreon, but I do love this guy, but he posted something where it was like, he's like, I'm clearing out all my my people. He's like, he was saying he's deleting some of the people that he follows.
Sure.
And he goes, don't take it personally, but if you really fuck with me, you'll stay with me and you'll keep following me. I was like, oh, okay, pretty convenient that you're just going to be like, sorry, guys, I'm deleting everybody, but you keep following me.
That's right. That's if you care.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Possibly the height of narcissism.
It's the most narcissistic.
And it's like, I'm not interested in what anybody's doing.
Yeah.
I don't care.
What do you think this relationship is? Do you think I'm
a fan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
People that like invite you to like their Facebook page or whatever, or like try to get like
Facebook.
I don't know. This guy I know is a serial doer of this, but he used to like DM me the newest video that he had come out. And I was like, cool, the first time. And then he kept doing it and I stopped responding. And then he'd send it and be like, did you check this out? And I just wrote back, I was like, I'm not your fan, dude.
Yeah, I'll never check that out.
I have no interest to see what you're doing.
What about the people that put up videos and they tag a bunch of people in it? Like they're
Chris
actually
Cotton,
in
R.I.P.
it?
Chris Cotton, R.I.P.
Always. Chris Cotton used to do that?
A lot. Yeah. He was notoriously bad for it. He got into a ton of arguments with a ton of people.
With Lewis, he got into a big fight with Lewis about that.
What?
Yeah.
Lewis was correct.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah,
R.I.P.
It was going to be on every
pots and pans, pots and
pots and pans, pots and pans.
What's the next question?
Next question comes from Northern Nature Guy. Northern Nature Guy.
Oh, I might be coming to Alaska, so I hope you're up there.
Yeah. So he asks, Which of these events would you rather experience? You can be Fred Durst starting a riot at Woodstock or Bill Burr during his epic Philly rant. You can see through the person's eyes and experience the emotions they felt at the time, but you can't alter the event in any way.
It's not even a competition. A little bit close in any way.
That is not a
you
competition.
Couldn't, I wouldn't. There isn't an amount of money you could pay me to want to be Bill Burr in that situation.
I was going to say Bill Burr.
Bill Burr said that was the worst day of his life. He said he thought his
little
career,
did he know it was the best day.
It
of
was,
his
but he
life.
Literally, bought, he thought his career was over. He was miserable. He was sweating. He was bombing, and then kind of and then winning them back. He had a terrible, terrible day. Limp Bizkit was like headlining Woodstock for hundreds of thousands of people who loved them.
It also reaffirmed, like Fred Durst was reaffirmed to the people that already thought he was cool. Like, like the fact that he made people break shit and create a riot wasn't not cool to the fucking Jenko wearing tards of 99 that were like, dude, Fred, man, he's as hood as it gets.
Yeah, after this, I'm getting a red hat.
Yeah. Isn't it funny that there, throughout history, and I'm just thinking of two, red hats have signified just the biggest douchebags on earth?
Yeah, it sucks because red hats are cool.
Yeah, I mean, they pop.
They pop. They pop. Really like, they really, I think on Fred Durst, it was cool. When he was cool, it was cool.
No.
Yeah, he was good at the backward. I mean, he made it a thing.
Yeah, but he made like I was just about to say he made fat unathletic people think they can wear a backwards Yankee hat. And then I was like, oh, so he must have been cool.
I loved wearing backwards hats.
Of course you did.
I never wore a red hat.
He wasn't
hat,
even though. Fat, too.
What he, was a, he was a little chunky.
Maybe by chocolate starfish types. He'd let all the drinking and partying and having sex with everybody.
Have you seen what he looks like now? He looks like an author, like that. Yeah. That just like went away to the woods.
The guy,
for
when
six
I last
years.
Time I was at Mohegan Sun, they were playing in Connecticut that same night, and like half the
they
staff.
Still play?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh
half,
yeah.
Half the staff just went like called out and went there. And said that it was like one of the best shows they've ever seen. Like
they put
now,
on a good show.
Because now they play like smaller.
Where'd you hear that from? Him? Just
no.
Now?
No.
Because they play small venues again. Because they used to play like arenas, and now they're not one of those bands who are like, we can't sell tickets, so let's partner up with four other bands that were popular when we were, and we'll do arenas together. Yeah. Instead, they're like, we'll just play smaller venues, and now they're like going back to kind of like their, you know,
roots.
Like punk roots of just being like just fucking way over fire marshal capacity places. I would love to see them in a tight like.
All right,
I would love to
next
see them
vlog.
Now.
Next
yeah, we're going to a
vlog.
Fucking.
We're seeing
dude,
this
they,
concert.
I will.
I'm gonna do blow and mosh my dick off.
I would do anything. I would 100%. I would pay whatever price to see them,
dude. The minute he goes, break your fucking face tonight. I'm just gonna have a gun and I'm gonna blow my brains out.
And you won't be able to see anything. Else?
No, that's the last thing I want to see. Yeah. Break your fucking face tonight. Give me something to break.
The red mist turns everybody's hat red.
Yeah. I'm changed my mind. I don't want to be Bill Burr ever. I want to be Fred Durst now.
Yeah, I already Fred had Durst my Bill Burr moment. It's called the Yelp review.
Yeah. Fred Durst is just like, he's one of those guys where you're like, you know, I guess it's the same as there are those people who, you know, a large section of the majority are like, this guy's a fucking douchebag. And then there's not only the huge section of people who are like, I fucking love this guy, but then they're like, oh, you think he's a douchebag? Fuck you. Now I love him even more.
Yeah,
you know,
doubling
like, he's,
down.
It's like,
because he's counterculture.
He's just like, no, what he is just like Florida, like pickup truck keg party guy.
Yeah.
And like, that's like a good energy.
Look, anyone, no, it did not go in. Anyone who is a big fan of Ben Stiller is cool with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ben Stiller?
Yeah, they're really good friends. He's on.
And Fred Durst are good friends.
He's on Limp Bizkit's album on Chocolate Starfish.
Yeah. They get high. Feeney showed me this. They like get high together.
Friends? In the end of, yeah.
I don't know
in
if
the
they're
end
still
of,
friends.
He dedicated a song to Ben Stiller. And then at the end of it, they have like this kind of like 15 minute long like post CD, like unreleased track
and
that's
still
on. It's like a secret
still
track.
Still my motherfucker.
Yeah, it's like a secret track on it. And Ben Stiller and them are just so high. And Ben Stiller's just kind of like making jokes over a beat, and he's like making fun of like Limp Bizkit,
it's
and then
very
just like
cool.
And then at one part he goes like he's like so high he does one of these last where he goes like that. And and which, by the way, if you pull it up, it's perfect what I just did. And they loop that laugh for like 4 consecutive minutes. So it just goes. It's so funny, dude.
And Ben Stiller is in a punk band, so they might still be friends.
They're
Okay, this next question comes from Anthony Conley. Anthony Conley. I hope I said that right. If you could take one dead celebrity and one living to make a project, any project, what would it be? For example, I would have Tina Fey and Chris Farley as private eyes. In a movie, of course. I am high, so I hit send early.
You know what, though? That's a genius idea, because initially you don't think of Tina Fey and Chris Farley together, but Tina Fey's writing with Chris Farley's everything else would be an incredible film.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what they're doing. They could be ice cream men together, and I would watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
Tina Fey is just not my favorite comedian. Which I mean, she's there's no denying how good she is at writing and jokes.
Yeah,
and shit
Mean
like
Girls
that.
And
but her on screen doesn't really do it for me. I don't really like.
Did you watch her? Well, because you didn't watch 30 Rock.
No.
That'll make you fall in love with.
I don't know if it will.
It explains. I mean, there's just no more.
And also, I've gone to so many comedy shows where they promised she was going to do stand up. She was nowhere.
I've been on most of those shows. Yeah, she's like the jokes per minute ratio. I can't think of a show that has more of them.
Again, this is not about her writing or abilities as a comedy comedian person. But just her overall aesthetic and the fact that she did Visa commercials or whatever those were that really annoyed me and basically wiped all of her comedy credibility clean for me.
Yeah. Seinfeld did those.
Well, you're talking to one of Jerry's number one non-fans.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Damn, but it's any celebrity, really. So, you know what I would do? I would make a movie with Stephen Colbert and Eminem. And it would be like, I don't know,
it would be awkward.
Yeah. Remember that interview? It was like a fake interview that.
Oh, that was all cable access.
Yeah. So it would basically be like that.
It was on a Michigan, Michigan local news thing.
It's so funny, too, because when you go to the comments of that, people are like, how does he not know that who Eminem is? And it's like, yeah, idiots. That's the point. You fucking.
God, remember when Colbert did comedy?
Yeah. Now he's dancing with syringes. Yeah.
I mean, dude, how do you...
And not in the Washington Square Park sort of way.
not in
the cool way.
Dude, me as a fully vaccinated, like, head-in-the-sand sheep sees that and is like, it's for sure the mark of the beast. What is this propaganda? How dare they sell us on this? Like, what is happening? You know what I mean? You see that and you're like, how couldn't that be the first thought you had?
Yeah, of
on
course.
Fucking CBS, literally line dancing with syringes.
That's what we call a company, man.
Woof.
So fucking strange.
Woof fucking city.
Yeah.
Population Colbert.
Yike.
What? So
just one yike.
What are you putting together?
One single yike.
This is just in a movie?
Or a project. Or any kind of project.
Oh, it could be any type of project.
I thought I said movie, you said.
This is just project.
Man, I mean, I think if I were, so it's only two, because I would love to do like an Ocean's 11 style flick with the best of the 90s. Project. With like Sandler, Farley, Jim Carrey, like all of our favorite comedians that we had growing up, to where it's then like a superpower comedy movie that isn't Anchorman with just like little cameos or whatever. Like it actually has multiple storylines that then converge at the end.
Get Soderbergh to direct.
Puddle of 90s.
Soderbergh.
I would also just watch, an hour of Alec Baldwin and Jerry Seinfeld just walking around talking.
Oh my God. That's the project I want. Yeah. That's what I want. Yeah. You just nailed it by the way, you had me at Alec Baldwin, and then you threw the Seinfeld. Then you reminded me of the comedian Picard, which is like far and away the best episode.
Tanner would rather be dancing with syringes.
I literally would rather get stabbed by one of those syringes through the
again,
heart than watch
post
that.
30 Rock. You'll fucking
yeah, that's true too. Once you watch 30 Rock, you'll love all those people.
Well, sounds like I avoided it for the right reasons. I have no interest in loving the devil.
Tell that to your shirt.
What? Yeah, this is us, babes.
Yeah, that's fucking cool.
We are fucking cool.
All right. Well, oh, wait, what's your project?
Well, now it has to be with Alec Baldwin and Seinfeld. I just want to hear, I just want them to do a podcast together. Yeah, just they can just do a podcast, and then that'll be cool. They did a podcast.
How do you like Seinfeld when Larry David exists?
I like both of them.
Larry David is the actual talent.
I like both of them. I think Seinfeld's also a talent.
He's fine.
He's written all of his own material.
Yeah, and it's been wildly evident ever since his split with LD.
I'm just saying, like, stand-up-wise, he's great, and I like...
Great.
Yeah,
his last special was great.
I was.
I mean,
oh,
was
no,
Chappelle's
no.
last special?
Yeah, it was.
Great.
Yeah,
yeah.
Chappelle's the one where the Viacom.
Yeah, I will also agree that Seinfeld's special was not great. It was bad.
Yeah,
but his one at the comic strip that I was at. And I watched him do it.
Oh,
I,
about the material that he wrote from 25 years ago?
Yeah, it was awesome.
I'm telling you for the last time is like an all-time great comic.
I know, he's really good at reading old jokes of his.
They still work.
It's awesome.
What about the show?
I mean, anybody... Yeah, Larry David was a great writer and focuser of Seinfeld's general mentality and attitude.
Oh, okay. We'll see.
We did.
We'll see.
We did, because one of those people went on to create yet another one of the greatest comedies of all time, and another one did B-movie and a show where the guest does the heavy lifting and the car.
It seems smart. Smart thing to do. And you're now going to be surprised by our guest. Jerry, why don't you come on in here?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh!
He would light up the room. He'd be wearing like a tuxedo or something.
He wouldn't pay attention to us. I also don't like him out of sheer like loyalty to Bobby Kelly and the whole story of like... Bobby and Seinfeld being like such an outward cunt to Bobby, like legitimately
he's an outward cunt to everybody.
Yeah, and that's the type of person that I do not like.
Bobby would stick his thumb in your eye socket if he could work with Seinfeld on a show.
One day.
What?
For one day. Yeah.
I don't care. Wait, what does that have to do with anything?
What I love about Seinfeld is he's been transparent since day one. He's been an asshole since before he was famous.
But he hasn't though.
He always was. Everybody in the 80s.
No, he hasn't.
And 70s
this is the lifelong debate that Feeny and I have gone through. Uh-huh. And he hasn't. He's the opposite of transparent. He's the type of guy that pretends nothing is wrong while seething with rage. So he's the one that, like, similar to Feeny in this way, where he's like, "What? I don't have negative feelings towards anybody. That's not me." And then we'll just peck and be an absolute condescending cunt.
Yeah, dude, I can't wait.
You don't think that you'd know about Seinfeld when you watch his stuff?
No, you know, because you can infer he actually feels, but he never openly discusses anything because he's a fucking lunatic.
Well, he does jazz, and people like Bird do fucking, you know, punk rock.
He does not do jazz.
He does classical or whatever.
He does Ode to Joy over and over again on the piano.
I can't wait for in 5 years when Cannon is on Comedians in Cars at the Massapequa Diner, and he's like, so...
Always been a big fan.
Do you remember...
podcast hosts hated
Do you remember saying this?
Yeah.
First of all, R.I.P. Brendan. He's a big, you know...
He's a big loss for everybody.
Yeah,
loss.
I've brought this
literal big loss
in memoriam.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the next question, because we got a lot more. This one comes from... There's three questions from Trumbull. Okay? Did we... Read this one. No, okay. Three questions. He says, Lil Cannon, Big Fiend, Young Sags. Henceforth, all comics must be in the same sex partnerships. You get to be the matchmaker. You compare one of your colleagues with anyone you please. What gay duo do you assemble? And I'm saying this right now, Bobby Kelly and Rich Voss.
I mean, they are already a sexless gay couple. Well, they are. Like, look at Voss with his little bedazzled jewelry and Bobby with his sheer coat of nail polish.
Watching them walk away together is very romantic.
Two old hens.
Yeah. Just squawking down the street.
Is it people? What? Who is it? Who are we hooking up?
Anyone,
any gay couple?
Well, it's any two people in comedy that you want to put together.
In comedy.
Mateo and me.
That would be great.
I'd love to just be his soft pin cushion.
I know. I'd be a real power bottom. Actually, I'd be a just about bottom.
I'd be a whatever he wants me to be.
Yeah. Yeah. He's somebody that you don't want to let go through the cracks of your hands, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you almost fully panicked.
I almost panicked.
You didn't throw that gag.
Then
he agreed. Your eyebrows, Pat, you were about to start trying to do a save.
I don't know what I'm saying.
This is the first show with your hair, right?
Yeah.
And we've yet to mention it because we've just done such
mentioned it. Yeah.
We've been mentioning it. It is changing color, though.
Yeah, fast. That's why I was asking if it's cheap, but he said it was.
It's like an algae green now.
That's cool.
It's like fish tank.
I'll probably
to clean my fish tank green.
I'll probably put more blue in it tonight.
Oh, so you have turtles?
Thanks
huh?
for finishing what I was trying to get at. That was it.
Okay.
See, turn on everybody.
Yeah. I was saying that he should keep the sides his normal color and just do the big J clean up top. But apparently,
I don't like
that'll make
no. I don't like that.
More bald, or
you know what's funny is that sounds good in theory, and then
it looks good on Jay.
But it looks good on Jay. But I did it. Jay also does like one stripe.
Yeah.
But I did it in pink, where I had like the skin fade and then just the pink, and I was like, this is gonna look cool. And then I looked at it, and I was like, that sucks.
Yeah, yeah. It makes you look more.
But you can't
bald.
Have. Yeah, you can't have no hair there. You gotta have his hair is long enough for.
Well, I could do that thing where it's like I. Cut my I shave my sides and then I have the blue in the back, but I feel like that would make me look more of like a blogger lady.
What do you think is happening right now?
I look fucking punk rock.
You look like Boo from punk fucking Orange is the New Black. Pull up a picture of Boo.
Me and Feeny do this thing.
You do look like one of the old ladies that Cuomo killed in a nursing home. your cheap ass blue hair dye.
I know.
Fucking Virginia over here.
Yeah, I look like.
Look, doesn't that look like him?
Oh my fucking god, dude! Oh my god!
There's one of her with hair, with like dyed hair.
Oh,
the show, but it's
my fucking god!
No, you're Boo.
I don't think I look like Boo. I have a cold shiver going through my body.
Look at your face! You just made it up!
See if there's one with her who has dyed hair, because she does that a lot, too. I mean, this is...
Oh, my God. You even have the same shitty tattoo.
I even have the tattoo that says Butch going down the arm.
Yeah, you got Jacob, she's got Butch.
Holy shit, dude. We should send her a picture. And just be like,
have her get her on the show.
Here's your long lost brother.
Mom?
She was great in the show, too.
Well, anyway, I don't think I look like her at all. I think I look like
Nicole. What do you think?
You really don't. Look at that and say, okay, I can see where they're matching.
Can we look up
matching
Matthew Lillard in SLC Punk?
No, that is you if you got it together.
Nicole, what do you think about the Boo correlation?
Be careful, Nicole.
Never crossed my mind until this very second.
And now?
It's crazy.
Pretty political answer. Insane.
She said it's crazy. So that was...
You're crazy. And you know what's also crazy?
You're crazy.
You're crazy, bro. Yeah. You know what's also crazy?
Here it comes.
Leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes.
What are you doing, my Irish goodbye thing now?
Yeah. Gotta do it. And coming out to all of our shows.
That's right. Columbus, Ohio, October 8th. McHenry, Illinois, October 9th. Chicago, the 10th through the 11th at Zany's. We're very excited. We got more shows. I got more shows. MikeCannonComedy.com. We're going to Skankfest in November. I got Jersey right after the little Midwest run.
Yep.
Got New Hampshire. Got North Carolina. Got Texas on the docket. All this stuff coming up. MikeCannonComedy.com. Check out the YouTube. Most importantly, though, check out the Patreon, where we are doing probably the most quality content any other podcast is putting out there. We have 2 bonus episodes every single week available. Only audio or both or video. It's like, I mean, the video looks incredible. We're doing it all outside, all over New York City. We're nearly getting stabbed. We're getting sold coke.
Baby.
Where Nicole had a rat or mouse crawl over her bare legs, which weirdly enough, she looked more uncomfortable
than I
anticipated, because rats are crawling on your shoulders, right?
Yeah, but the mouse almost ran inside. bang.
Oh my God.
I was sitting like, as someone may say, crisscross applesauce. And it just, it felt like it was about to enter me. It was
Oh my God.
All right. Then I completely understand why you were thrown by that. But all of that and more up on the Patreon. I
mean, it's truly
unbelievable. I've been watching like the Blunts with the Boys and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
me too.
It's good stuff.
It really looks good. It looks great. Now we got
fantastic.
We got multiple cameras, so it's really coming out. We're making our own TV show.
Yeah.
Also,
multiple.
Personally, follow me on Twitch. I'm getting a motherfucking PC gaming computer. I'm going to be playing tons of games, tons of horror games. Twitch.tv/SagsToRiches. And as far as my own headlining dates, on the 18th, I'm headlining at the Ainsworth in Merrick in Long Island. So long, little hometown hero. Ooh. Shit. And then on the 20th...
Can I open?
You want to open?
Yeah.
You can come.
When is it? You want
the 18th?
I'm in.
Okay. I'll
see you there.
18th of October. And on the 22nd, I'm headlining BJ Ryan's, and I will be eating a steak with my bare hands, depending on how good the show
with
goes.
With chipped polish.
Yeah.
It's going to have chipped polish shavings on as accoutrement.
Yeah, I don't know if they don't have the link ready for the Ainsworth show in Long Island, but just be on the lookout for that. It will be on my website, brendansaglow.com.
Nice.
Yes, I actually have a computer and I'm actively streaming, so follow me on there, twitch.tv/edwy.
It's not just a dream.
Yeah. Yep, I'm actually doing it. twitch.tv/nyfreshmaker.
What the hell happened?
And then mikefeeneycomedy.com. And then you can go at I Am Mike Feeney, watch my special Rage Against the Routine. And I got some new dates that I literally have to respond to this email to confirm, and then I will announce them next week. So
sorry, I didn't mean to compare you to Seinfeld. I love you. You're a much softer, much more gentle person. Seinfeld is a cunt.
Still love Seinfeld. But
I don't know why I go so hard in the paint against them. I absolutely
would act with reference.
He's one of the greatest joke
here's
technicians
the reason,
of all time.
Great joke writer, whatever.
Yeah, joke technician.
Yeah, but here's the reason why I think you guys would actually love each other. Or
I don't think
you
would
love
me even a little.
I think, well, not after hearing this episode, but I think the reason you would get along or have such a good day is because you both love stand-up comedy so much.
Yeah.
Even if I could find somebody who I hate, if you want to talk comedy, I'll be like, all right, let's talk some shit.
I really do like comedy.
Me too. I really love it.
It's the best. I remember somebody recently, they were like, you know, I was involved in a conversation about stand-up, and then somebody came down and they joined. They were like, they almost were like, oh, sorry, like, I don't know if you like talking about this. And I was like, I'm more of a comedian than you'll like. I just instantly got defensive.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
of course.
How dare you? I've read every book on comedy. I've been invested in this my entire life. I spend every waking moment looking at my son but thinking about jokes. I'm like, fuck you and fuck everything you're about.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about this too, where I'm like, man, I thought about this yesterday. I go, man, I love talking comedy with other comedians, but, you know, not comedians that are like under 5 years because they're too new and don't know what's going on, and definitely not comedians that are like over 20 years because they're too jaded and become like cunts and nothing impresses them anymore.
Yeah.
And definitely not people who have been doing it in that like 5 to 8 year range.
You really just like talking to us about comedy.
Not, yeah, not comedians in the 5 to 8 year range because they think they've got it all figured out, but are also bitter they don't have more yet. And I'm like, really in that 10 to 15 year range. That's really the sweet spot
of talking
comedy.
That's where I get to flex her.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, Brendan, and sometimes Rosebud.
Yeah. And then sometimes Tim calls and just talks.
But we had a great, Nicole, didn't we have a good comedy conversation on YKWD, me, Voss, and Rosebud?
Yeah, it was great.
It was awesome because we didn't like, it was a conversation about like being on the road and workshopping and doing stuff
some
like
shit that.
That
people would actually be interested in.
It just wasn't about PC culture and how the industry is and the blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And it's like, nobody gives a fuck about that. That conversation has been had 4,000 times at this point. But what is really interesting is not just the process, but like the feelings that going through this shit evokes and what scenario, what situations we have put ourselves in and the stories that kind of come from that. Because we are brothers in arms when it comes to that shit, or at least people
supposed to be.
Right. Well, I mean, real comedians in the sense that this is our primary income, whereas other people, you know, I understand why people want a safe workspace when they work for Fallon or write, you know, or write for a late night show. It's like, yeah, that is real HR. But if you've ever come with me on the road and I'm performing in a lobby of a hotel where two 9/11 hijackers stayed, I don't think there's really an HR department to talk to about that.
Yeah.
Fairfield. All right, we got a ton of more questions, but not a lot more time, so let's just keep moving on. I don't know what
speed round.
Yeah, MCMFBS. Oh, Mike Cannon, Mike Feeney, Brendan Sagalow. All right, you're a retired professional athlete. You are the all time statistical leader in something nobody cares about. What stat is it?
Oh, that's so funny.
yeah.
Like defensive something that plus no minus.
One, yeah, I'm the best one of those guys that walk on skis with a a rifle in his hand. I'm like so good at that.
Oh, it cross be in the Olympics. Country.
Is it?
Oh, Olympic it is sport. In the Olympics. It's in the winter one. Yeah.
What is it called?
Cross country skiing.
No.
But with a
No. It's called something else. Cross country skiing doesn't have cross rifles.
Cross country rodeo?
Are you drunk?
No, I just
cross country.
Was I slurring? Was I slurring? I think the Shake Shack just hit my system.
Somebody put rum in the Shake Shack.
Those fucking bell peppers.
What about you?
What was the question again about what?
You are a retired professional athlete.
Oh, yeah, athlete. Mm-hmm. I would, how about this? How about the Guinness Book of World Records holder for the longest hopscotch?
That's a great one.
But that's not professional.
I feel like that would hurt.
Is that professional? Once
if it's a Guinness Book of World Records.
If you make money doing it.
Paid?
What?
Yeah.
Maybe, you know what? Anything,
It would be a league leader, all-time leader in deflected passes.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Who gives
verbally.
It? Didn't even result in a steal. Didn't change a possession. You just deflected the pass.
Yeah. I would do longest yodel.
This is not,
that's not a sport.
It can be a sport.
They do that in, in baseball a lot where they can find stats that are like, absolutely meaningless. Like a guy will strike out and his bat will fly into the stands and they're like, you know, only four other players in history have ever thrown their bats into the stands after striking out after the play before hitting a home run.
Right.
And, and then you're like, wait, you're like, well, these are so specific. Of course.
Yeah.
It's going to be just a short list. You know?
Of course.
Basketball is kind of going in that direction now too, because with all the advanced metrics and how like math is becoming such a huge part of the game, it's like baseball used to be the real stat sport. And now weirdly enough, like basketball is like really becoming that. That's why everybody shoots. Interested with your painted finger on your lips.
This feels like a big you thing that's happening right now. I'm literally just listening to you talk. Tell me more.
Dab your thin upper lip with your chewed upon psoriasis.
Don't mention my chewy nails.
Okay, Mary Jean.
What's the next question?
The scenario, perhaps?
Here's the scenario. All right, here's the scenario. We should say it casually. All right, here's a scenario. All right. Okay, this is also comes from Trumbull. Sags and Friends, love that.
Fan, we'll talk about it.
You get the power to shoot something from your eyes, something other than lasers, lightning, or fire. Why is it always those? He's trying to bit right now.
Oh.
Why is it always those?
What's the deal? With lightning, fire.
Why is it always lightning and fire?
And lasers!
Wouldn't that hurt in your head?
Where's Larry to make this funny?
So, what will emanate from your peepers?
Bees.
Oh, that's the best.
Man, is that the best.
Oh, the dogs bark and the bees come out. And then what is it from The Simpsons?
What are you going to release, the hounds or the bees or the hounds that bark? And when they bark, they shoot bees at you? Well, do your worst. And all of a sudden they come and they're barking. Yeah.
Man,
that's a good answer.
I mean, the only thing I could think of after that is like cicadas. And it's the same idea.
Yeah, but then the bees still can sting. That's like the cicadas are just like, bite. Ew, gross.
Cicadas are disgusting.
Yeah, they're grosser.
They're just gross.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that, or this might have been on a Mike Takes Edibles, but when they like 17-year cicadas or whatever, they came out in fifth grade, and it was like a huge thing that they had to warn us about, like picking them up, throwing them at each other or whatever, and they were like, absolutely 100% do not put them in anybody's hair. And I just picked one up and threw it right in Nicole Friend's Deirdre's hair.
Like, did it bite?
It burrowed in there, laid eggs, and she had to get a haircut.
Oh my God, it laid eggs that quickly?
I don't know. I made that part up, but oh. It definitely burrowed, tangled, and she had to get a haircut.
Did this even happen?
No.
I would shoot Sacagawea coins out of my eyes. So I could just go, oh, how much is that coffee? Thank you.
Yeah, and they'd be like, oh, we don't take these. Who takes these?
We never have.
Well, they're still like gold, right? Can I melt them down? Okay. Next question comes from Wesley Inman. Wesley asks, hey, here's the scenario pod team. I've got a scenario to ask. You have to choose between two scenarios for the rest of your life. Every door entrance you pass through flips how gravity affects you, aka one door makes you fly upwards towards the ceiling and another doorway puts you back to normal. Or every step you take goes 1 foot downward from wherever you're standing, whether it's ground floor or anywhere higher.
If every step goes down, then you'd never go up.
Every step you take goes 1 foot downward. Yeah, then you never go up. I'm going to guess the ceiling thing, although I'd puke every time I leave a doorway.
Yeah, rocketed up to the ceiling.
Yeah,
you're just doing 12-foot falls.
Or like, what if you're walking out of a building and you're like, God, I hope I'm going to go through this and then go straight to the fucking space.
Yeah, but do you know what you do?
What?
You walk with plungers. So you go through the door and you go... And then hold yourself as you fly.
Cool.
And then put yourself back through the door halfway.
You know what my fear would be with the plungers?
Yeah.
You go up there, the plungers, you get rocketed towards it. So you try to use the plungers to brace your fall. And like as you're getting shucked up towards it. But when it sticks in there, you know, you don't have as strong of a grip as you do body weight getting thrown up. So your hand slides up the plunger, just giving you splinters the whole way up. And then you're like,
hard?
If you fell right now toward from the ground to the ceiling and you use two plungers to try and stop you, you would just break your neck into the wall.
Oh, yeah.
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 And then you have to carry around plungers all the time. That sucks.
You have to do that at home anyway.
No, I don't.
There you
I
go,
do.
Little no, plunger boy.
I'm not a plunger
I'm
boy.
I'm a big plunger boy.
I bet you are.
I am a no toilet paper plunger boy. I clog with just organic materials.
No way. That's crazy.
Buster Douglas, do I ever. These pipes
I was a big toilet paper clogger until I started, you know, because when I was
so
a
you
kid,
have to pay
I was
for
like,
toilet paper?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And yeah, I would
you
do that.
You take it from New York Comedy Club. Who are you kidding?
No.
Yeah, he's got the big spindle wheels.
Yeah, the brown
ones. He
doesn't
fit on anything. He opens his door, it knocks the whole thing off. He's like, you gotta.
I just have fucking cut marks all over my ass from wiping. All right, here's another question. I think this is a good one. This comes from Cody Lyons.
Oh, is that your brother?
It's not.
Okay.
Wow. That's all a right. Big that was, shut the fuck up my cannon yeah. moment.
That was answered very quickly.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not. I'm you would never your, support the show.
I'm sick yeah, of your little games, Michael.
Yeah. Yeah, we actually don't talk anymore.
We don't talk anymore.
He says, fuck.
It's up. Once an episode.
An asshole.
Forever.
I quit. I quit.
No, you don't.
I quit. Okay. Fuck, marry, kill.
Every time.
Fuck, marry, kill. Flow from...
Sorry, audio listeners.
This
we're just
is why you gotta
fun.
Watch
yeah. Why you watch the show. Fuck, marry, kill. Flo from Progressive. Lily from AT&T.
Oh.
And the Geico Gecko. I mean, obviously, this is a hard one. This is a hard one. Lily is the hottest commercial lady I've ever...
Were you about to drop a hard B?
The hottest bitch in the whole fucking world.
You,
you know
were.
What I'm
you really are. Sag daddy.
Shit.
Which one is she?
She's the AT&T girl. Can we bring her
short haired?
Yeah, she also has faced quite a bit of online bullying because of her bulbous bazooms. Because
of her giant knockers.
Yeah.
Can we bring her up in the commercial though?
She's smoking.
Well, once you know that she has.
See her in the. Where do you see her?
She's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. Then when you watch her in the commercials, you're like, oh yeah.
They had to plane her up, almost to like not be.
She has Christina Hendricks boobs.
Yeah, please. Oh baby.
Oh, wow. They really, they like used hard lighting on her,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they duct taped them down.
Yeah, but it's hard because she's incredible. You know what it is? Fuck her. Marry Flo because she's got, oh, she's probably got.
God, no.
Bring up Flo. Flo's a cutie.
Doesn't matter. It's not about attractiveness. It's about personality.
Speaking of Ben Stiller and then tying this all around, Heartbreak Kid, Flo from Progressive is in that movie as one of the family of the chick in Mexico.
Yeah, she's, oh, wow.
She's really funny.
Yeah, she was an improviser.
Yeah.
Like a UCB or Groundlings.
She's got to toss it all away to make a measly $5 million a year.
Minimum. Dude, way more than that. She's cleaned. She's probably cleared $50 million from all
I
of those.
I wonder.
Dude, 100%. Yeah. I mean, there was like, you know, Matt McCarthy, who used to be that like Verizon guy or whatever, was making like, you know, those national campaigns.
He is a hilarious stand-up comedian. Yeah.
You know, it's funny.
Oh, I remember, dude, I remember, this is how funny this joke was to me. When the first show I ever produced in comedy, it was like 2009 or something like that. I was, I produced a show at Eastville and Matt McCarthy was on it. And this was during the height of when he was on that. So everyone's like, the Verizon guy, that kind of a thing.
Which
was like, you know, but he was so funny. He, you know, in his comedy, he's very like, you know,
he's a silly goof.
Yeah, he's silly and absurdist, like, he's very alt and absurdist. But he talks about how he's like, today I watched, you know, he's still at payphones, I guess, in 2009. But he was watching these guys. He was eating food. These teenagers walked past a payphone, and the one dude, as he walked by, just like flipped the receiver off the thing and let it dangle. And then he goes into like a 3-minute speech about being like, well, shit, look at Big Dick McGee and his cool friends flipping the phone. God damn, I've never seen anything as cool in my life. It's like over hours.
That's still great.
It just made me think of that bit. That's 12 great. Years later. Oh, and I'm like, it was so funny.
The first ever Hoboken Comedy Festival, I did a set right before him in some like weird disco in Hoboken.
Wow.
Yeah.
Back before
I knew it took 6 months for that kid to pay you.
Yeah.
Not Matt.
He pays?
The person who owns that.
Yeah. Thank you for taking the pictures of Lily off of the screen, because I could not pay attention to anything anyone was saying
because of
those big, juggly, ginormous bazoongies.
You will never have success.
I won't have
None
success.
None of us will.
Yeah. Look, buddy.
Separating myself.
Your ankle is still chained to mine, so.
So I'll gnaw through it like the end of Saw. So I would, I think I'm marrying the Geico gecko because,
what?
Yeah.
The gecko.
Well, first off, he is.
Feeny, do you take this list?
Yeah.
If he gets
who's doing they're getting married by another Australian gecko?
Judd Gecko.
But if he annoys me, I just go like this. Shut up. And I put him over there for a while.
Yeah.
And then he seems pretty mild-mannered and quiet. And if he's going, shut up.
I put him over there. Yeah.
Get in my pocket. And then you can be quiet. And then obviously have sex with the AT&T woman and then kill Flo because
Why?
You can't see another one of those fucking commercials again.
I'm going to marry Flo because she's got the motherfucking dough. I'm going to have sex with Lily and her big juggly bazingis. And I'm going to crush the Geico gecko just like a fucking gecko.
I would marry, fuck, and kill Lily.
In that order.
In that order, yeah. That whole segment made me uncomfortable.
All right, we got a couple questions left. Let's try and get to
that's a real person with a father.
Yeah, Brendan really knows how to make
him.
What's it's his culture?
Oh, well, you mean by saying the big jubbly
Let him finish what he was going to say. Let him finish what he's going to say.
Is that you yawning while you're doing a
podcast? That's me.
That's what's the
Michael
next question?
Caine.
It's Michael Caine.
It's my Michael
getting
Caine.
Up from a nap.
Yeah. I would fuck Lily.
In
Burma.
Don't think of yawning.
And the bandit was throwing the jewels away.
She was only 16.
A ruby the size of a tangerine.
You were only supposed to blow the bloody doors off. All right. This one comes from Taylor Hetston. And they ask, been watching since the beginning and you guys are funnier each week. Thank you, Taylor, you motherfucker. would you rather have to get rid of Sagalo? Would you rather have to get rid of Sagalo?
Yes.
Me too. Convoy. Well, I didn't agree to that. Nicole did, though. I saw her pump her fist, too.
Okay, well, let's
Nicole said, finally, quietly into the mic.
Nicole likes me better than you two.
Oh.
That's a lie she told us she does for you.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You're the simple Jack of the group.
She said she knows. That
Nicole, who's your favorite?
Don't pull me into this.
You are you are Wendy.
You are Wendy. Would you rather get... this is a funny question anyway, but would you rather get rid of Sagalo or the prolific question writer Muthoni? No idea how to spell their name.
Muthoni.
Yeah, let's get rid of Sagalo.
Without Muthoni and Cerna style, this podcast ceases
would
to
not exist.
Yeah. So I got to say, sayonara sex.
Yeah, I just go and I fade out like in that gif. Funny enough, the last question comes from Muthoni, and they ask, don't do that. Don't look at
don't
him.
Don't connect.
That's true. I can't get mad
don't
at
don't have
that.
A meaningful relationship.
Yeah. Sorry, dude. Muthoni. Sorry that you guys often catch eyebrows and then make fun of me and I fly into a fucking furious rage.
That's true.
So, let's just wrap it up.
Man, it really works. Yeah. Every time it works.
Here's the scenario.
It really works.
Here's the scenario. Episode 36 was Brendan's funniest episode by far. I really am the favorite here. Anyway, so
saying you had one good episode out of 36 does not mean you're
mentioning
great.
Me at all is good.
Yeah, you shot 1 for 36. What are you, John Starks in the playoffs?
Heyo.
Tell me about that.
I want to bite the first knuckle off your finger.
I got to put fucking medicine on.
Ugh, I would if I didn't think it would taste like a dry tortilla chip.
It would be like a powdered donut. If you were all single, would your life be better, worse, or worse, the same being free? I am on man person. He's drunk. If you were all single, would your life be better, worse, the same being free? I am on man person.
Let's just cut that sentence out.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Being free,
makes sense.
Would it be better or worse? I think Brendan has happened in real time on the show.
What?
Whether or not you're a better person, single or spoken.
What
for.
Do you think?
I mean, right now you're clearly still with, you're with somebody, but searching for something.
I always dyed my hair. I don't know what the fuck.
Not blue or green.
Blue is fun. This was a bonding moment with me and my lady.
I'm sure it was.
Let's ask, you know who can answer this? Mickey Mouse. Folks, you know, Minnie's a real big fat whore, so I'm a lot. Anyway, that was the show, everybody.
I've never seen a person's gaslight go on and then the car go out as quick as it does with him.
So long,
it's like
everyone.
His gaslight isn't 25 miles. It's T-minus 3 seconds until he's for sure finished.
What's the question again? If you could read it from down there.
Would your life be different, better, or what? Single?
I mean, it would be different, but I think it wouldn't be as good because now...
Stay there.
No, you got to say the rest of the episode. Yeah. I think it would be... Oh, this is a tragic thing
Dude,
to watch.
Watching you me? Lumber to your feet.
Why are you sweating?
Oh my God.
I would say my life would be worse because if nothing else, I'd have to worry it.
That looks like a person standing up out of their wheelchair for the first time in 11 years.
I can hear finally.
There's the absence of love that you and I would both not have, or would have the absence of love. But there also is the fact of now our time is going to be divided even more into now being on dating apps, trying to date girls, trying to hook up with.
Now, you don't have to be on the dating apps.
No.
You would do great on it. You'd probably do great on it as well.
I know I would do. I'm a perfectly suitable single person. I am not a good person when I'm single.
What do you
All
mean?
Of my values and like reasonable human traits that I've grown into and like, you know, tried to get away and grow from. That's me now. Like if I'm single,
I don't think
I'm
you'd
like,
make it single.
No, I would. I mean, it just like, I just know what I'm like. Much, I sleep with too many people and it's just like, it snowballs and just becomes a fucking gross thing. I don't lie to anybody, but there's no way to keep like feelings out of it, and it from getting gross. And I probably have sex with comedians and it would be a goddamn nightmare. You know,
that's like I'd my life. Really. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably get too attached to comedians and then we'll break up and then we'll just keep doing shows together. But it's fine. We'll get over it. We'll be fine. And then I'll start dating another comedian.
I don't know what you're referring to.
You don't.
Well, my story is better than yours.
What's your story, Morning Glory?
No, I was just kidding. I like my life. I like my life right now, and I'm happy with the
you're
lady
in a relationship.
I am. Yeah, yeah. I'm like really happy. There's no reason to freak out, man.
There's no reason to torpedo this. There's no reason to self-sabotage this at the moment of happiness.
I like both.
Is that why you dyed your hair pool lining green?
Yeah, Steve.
This is
the color is
emerald.
I forgot the shock green.
That's the show, everybody. Thank you for listening. Please check us out on the Patreon. We love you very much, and we'll see you next week on Here's the Scenario.
Bye.
Bye.
Here's the Scenario is Mike Feeney, Mike Cannon, and Brendan Sagalow. Executive producers Robert Kelly and Matt Kleinschmidt for the Laugh Button Podcast. For more information about the show, visit heresthescenario.com. The scenario.